most of the people that are abusers tend to be narcissistic and they tend to be sociopath. And they are very, very charming. And you don't realize it until you are so trapped in it. And maybe even have a couple of children. And oftentimes they're the type of person who will climb to the head of the department or be the chairman of the Department of Surgery or be the chairman of, you know, some big government organization or be the top lawyer in their firm or whatever, because they have learned how to manipulate their way to the top, and they will manipulate you in the same way, and you won't realize it until it's too late.
Welcome to Ending Domestic Abuse, a one-of-a-kind virtual resource for helping victims escape abuse, empowering survivors, and preventing relationship violence before it can even start by giving you the tools to improve your confidence, life skills, and hope. I'm your host, Dr. Ludi Green, a national expert on violence against women and children. On my podcast, you will hear from top experts in fields like finance, economics, psychology, and many more. And you will hear stories from people who have defied the odds, overcome abuse, and found their way to success. Together, we'll offer you support and practical ideas to pursue your goals, start on a new path, and protect yourself and others. Today's episode will feature a renowned plastic surgeon who dedicates her time to support victims and survivors of domestic abuse. We're so honored to have Dr. Rondi Walker on to share her story and act as your virtual mentor. Let's meet her after this short break. Ending Domestic Abuse is brought to you by Audible. Something you need to know about me is that I love to multitask. I'm a mother and a wife. As an entrepreneur who had to build her own path to success, I'm always looking for ways to continue learning and to use my time more effectively. Audible has been a great resource for me. I can have access to hundreds of audiobooks from the palm of my hand and listen to them as I commute to work, while I cook dinner, and when I go on a run. Listeners who have enjoyed some of our episodes on self-care will love Audible's huge list of self-help books, as well as their guided wellness program. It is so important to continue to learn and improve yourself. You are worth it. Don't wait. Head to audibletrial.com/endingdomesticabuse to start your free trial so they know we send you. All proceeds will go to improving this podcast to help even more victims of violence. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/endingdomesticabuse. Welcome back to Ending Domestic Abuse, and this is your host, Dr. Ludi Green. As many of you may know, this podcast started in 2020 as a response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Pandemics are often associated with an increase in domestic violence, as people are unable to leave their homes and can become trapped. Additionally, essential services such as domestic violence shelters had to drastically reduce the number of people they can house and serve. So the increase in violence against women beginning in 2020 became such a pressing issue that the United Nations called it the shadow pandemic. Many organizations, scientists, and doctors began increasing the research of the connection between domestic violence and pandemics to increase public awareness of the shadow pandemic. During this research, one group realized that plastic surgeons in particular could play a role in helping to identify individuals who may be experiencing domestic violence. Signs of intimate partner violence are most identifiable through craniofacial assault and upper extremity injury, meaning injuries are often found on the head, facial bones, neck, and shoulders. Because plastic surgeons often specialize in management of head and neck trauma, they're likely to be seeing patients with craniofacial and upper extremity injuries. Researchers suggested that increasing the ability of surgeons to recognize intimate partner violence related to injuries could help these surgeons to identify patients who may be experiencing violence in the home and help connect them to resources. In addition to the aforementioned role plastic surgeons can play in supporting victims of violence, there are many organizations and individuals who help domestic violence survivors by helping them to heal the physical scars left behind on their bodies. Programs such as Face to Face connect victims of violence to affordable and even free plastic surgery procedures. We're so honored to have Dr. Rondi Walker, a plastic surgeon with a dedication to ending domestic abuse, here to speak with us about these topics and many more. Oh, Randy, we're so thrilled to have you in my podcast and to discuss about all the things that you have done. Thank you for joining us today. Before we get into the program, could you please tell us, our listeners, a little bit about you, your interest, and your background?
Yes, I am a plastic surgeon. I've practiced in Washington, D.C. for approximately 30 years. And this past year, I moved to Boca Raton, Florida, because after the COVID epidemic, it became harder and harder to keep employees. And I had a very good opportunity to join Sanctuary Plastic Surgery here in Boca Raton, Florida. Over the years, I have been involved with Knockout Abuse, which is a group that was founded by Cheryl Masri and Jill Sorensen to raise funds for individuals who were victims of domestic violence. Some of these things that we raised funds for were shelters for 2 weeks, 6 weeks, and some for even up to 10 years. And I was actively involved in that, as well as referring patients that I suspected of having some issues to the appropriate persons.
What inspired you to pursue a career in medicine and to specialize in plastic surgery?
Well, there are a number of things. I grew up on a farm, which sounds kind of strange, but I was always interested in medicine, and I used to follow the veterinarian around a lot. And also, my father was a dentist, and in those days, dentists did a lot of oral surgery. And I worked for my father for a number of years through high school and college, and met a lot of his patients, and just decided that I would like to have a career in medicine, and I would like to have a career in probably the more artistic side of medicine, which is plastic surgery.
Many victims and survivors of domestic violence turn to plastic surgery as a way to remove the physical scars and reminders of abuse. Even with my work, when I had my organization, Second Chance Employment Services, we had many women who came with the scars, and then we would refer them to surgeons to help them, you know, remove the scars so they can go on with their life. Have you had many victims of violence come to you for help and share what they were going through?
I have had them come to me, but not so much for removal of scars as just coming to me requesting a plastic surgery procedure, be it a facelift or eyelids or, you know, nose, whatever. And when I sat down to interview them, I realized that the real reason they were coming wasn't so much that they didn't like the way they looked, but they lacked self-confidence. And usually it had to do with a partner, or they were going through an extreme divorce. And I would pick up beyond the fact that there was probably domestic abuse going on. And I will say that I sent a number of them to social workers and people that I knew via my work with Knockout Abuse, as well as to divorce attorneys that I knew were very sympathetic to persons undergoing these kinds of problems and issues.
And we have the opportunity to work together too. You were able to share some of your people to us as well, to our resource center.
Exactly.
With Ending Domestic Abuse. But you're amazing. You're really amazing because your commitment is unbelievable. And I can see your passion and your care about this issue. So we're grateful to you. People like yourself, surgeons like that, we need to have many, many more repeated Randy Walkers. Through our partnership with the plastic surgery, we have been able to assist many women throughout the years. And we're now so grateful to have you as one of our partners for client referrals. Do you have any story of any client that you can share, of anyone that you have like that you encounter in the way you discuss with them how to help them? And also, you know, about what are the demographics that primarily you dealt with?
The demographics I dealt with were basically women well-educated in Washington. Some were lawyers, some were professional women, some were just, you know, women who were educated but stayed at home. But this was not just, you know, what you think of as the battered housewife lying in the gutter type of thing. And there's many mm-hmm. types of abuse. Mm-hmm. There's psychological abuse. There's physical abuse. There are a variety of things. I mean, I have seen and treated some women who've had their nose fractured, or maybe they've been, you know, smacked mm-hmm. in the eye and a laceration. And I have treated them for those things. And then in further, you know, delving into the issues or the problems, I find mm-hmm. out what the real, you know, what the real answer is. And the one thing that I did, more importantly than just, you know, my devoting surgical skills, which I could easily do, was that in my practice in Washington, I started a program called Knockout Days. And this is still when knockout abuse was going very strong before COVID. And I would decrease the fees of my surgery. And then I would donate 50% of the proceeds to knockout abuse to specifically go to shelters that we recognized needed the most help. And that was how I really felt I could really pay my way back, or, you know, not pay my way back, but give back to these women. It was to help to provide them with shelters, because one of the big things is people lose resources. They have no money, no funding, no clothes. I mean, sometimes they're just, you know, left out on the street, and or they, you know, they attempt to get away, and it's really, really difficult. I mean, I think one of the most heart-wrenching stories is a woman I knew, and I knew her through Knockout Abuse and also through your founding, your foundation, Ludi, who was married to someone high in the government. And she herself was an attorney, and her husband had a very stressful job, and they decided to move to Connecticut. I think this story has been in the papers and whatnot, but at any rate, she opted for a divorce, and she went to the house alone in Connecticut with her children in the car. And, you know, he pulled a knife on her and a gun on her, and she ran away and drove through the snow with a newborn baby and ended up, you know, just running up to somebody's doorstep, and they took her in. And the gentleman is in jail. And I had a chance to really get to know her and to speak with her. And also my daughter, who was assisting me at my office, got a chance to speak with her daughter, who was much, you know, about 6 years younger than my daughter, about what, you know, what it felt like and what it was like. Mm-hmm. And I think that was very, very educational. And there've been another other women musicians, women, you know, that I have met and talked to through the years. Maybe I didn't specifically treat them, but I certainly got them referred to appropriate sources, and I was a good ear for listening, I felt.
You know, it's very important, this conversation with you, because you're highlighting the fact that women, no matter what socioeconomic background they are, they could be victims of violence. They can come from a lot of wealth, especially your circles, the circles that you were taking care of in your practice in Washington, D.C. They were coming from those backgrounds, high profiles, people with degrees, you know, maybe masters, lawyers, you know, doctorates and all that, but still they were at risk with violence against them as well, because as we discussed, violence against women can be, you know, emotional, economical, physical. So we don't know how it will come, and it comes to anybody at any time. So that is very important that you mentioned, because anyone who is listening to this podcast, I want you to know that you're not alone, that this is true, that this happens to anyone. It can happen to you. It doesn't matter if you have so much money or you don't have any money. It is a real pandemic in our society, and we need to combat it and join forces together as women. And let me ask you, Randy, I think about that you really brought it up, because I needed to hear it, because many people do not mention, you know, we discuss about abuse, but we don't talk about this type of population that really suffering. And you, by saying that, you're bringing light to the fact that women with means go through this, and we need to be together more helping them.
Yes.
Is there any advice that you have right now for any woman?
I would say, I mean, if you're already in the relationship, this, you know, you really have to examine it. If you're feeling these things, and seek the most help that you can. And also stash as much money away as you can if you're there in a relationship. If you're somebody who's entering into a relationship and it seems too good to be true, take a look at it, because most of the people that are abusers tend to be narcissistic, and they tend to be sociopath, and they are very, very charming. And you don't realize it until you are so trapped in it, and maybe even have a couple of children. And oftentimes they're the type of person who will climb to the head of the department, or be the chairman of the Department of Surgery, or be the chairman of, you know, some big government organization, or be the top lawyer in their firm or whatever. Because they have learned how to manipulate their way to the top, and they will manipulate you in the same way, and you won't realize it until it's too late.
It's stashing money, like you say, like having their own little savings account for protecting themselves if any circumstances happen like that, if any violence arises in that relationship, is critical. We need to be educating our girls. We need to have our own money and taking care of ourselves and our children. So, Randy, if there's any more things, or how can people get in touch with you, stay connected and learn about your work? Will you please share with us any website or anything you may have?
Yes, you can actually reach me via my website here at Sanctuary Plastic Surgery, which is www.spsboca.com. And I also have an email here, which is drwalker@spsboca.com. Mm-hmm. And Sanctuary Plastic Surgery, where I work, is located at 4800 North Federal Highway in Boca Raton, Florida, 33431. And any of the, you know, people at the receptionist desk, if you ask for me, they will just, you know, they'll put you through to me or leave a phone number and I will be glad to call back.
Lucky that Boca Raton have you now. So all the listeners from that area know that Rondi is there now and he's a fabulous plastic surgeon who has done so much work in the Washington, D.C. area. And now she's there in Boca Raton, Florida. Listen, Randy, thank you so much for being our guest today. And thank you for you for listening. No matter who you are or what you have been through, you can find help and you can find a way out of abuse and into your new life. Send us an email to our website at ludigreen.com. That's ludigreen.com, or you can call our abuse hotline at 202-643-2327. That's 202-643-2327. We'll help you find a way out to freedom. You can also find me on social media at Dr. Ludigreen on Instagram and Twitter. You can also help stop abuse by spreading word of our podcast. Just go on Spotify and please give us a 5-star rating or share your comments. Thank you again, and together, let's all find the life you deserve.